This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, March 29th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear about how Boulder County Parks and Open Space and his volunteers are helping to restore the county's disturbed landscape with native seeds. Then we'll go to Telluride to hear the suspense and joy of a spelling bee. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A commentary from Jim Hightower is at the bottom of the hour. Then comes a public affair. Today, Stacy Johnson visits with Jim Tallstrup, executive director of the High Plains Environmental Center, located in Loveland's Centerra Development. Their discussion includes a range of conversation topics, including land stewardship, restoration, and creating a native habitat within an urban environment. At 9:30, Volleyball Paul will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Benita Lee.
The Boulder County District Attorney is seeking a competency hearing of the defendant in the Table Mesa King Soopers mass shooting case, suggesting the suspect might be refusing mental health treatment on his own volition rather than by the circumstances of a mental health disorder. The 23-year-old suspect has been a patient at the Colorado Mental Health Institute in Pueblo since the court declared him incompetent for trial in December 2021. The suspect is facing first-degree murder charges and other felonies in relation to the killing of 10 people at the Table Mesa King Soopers on March 22, 2021. According to the Daily Camera, the DA's office is also raising repeated concerns about the suspect's mental health symptoms and the ability of the state hospital to treat him because of staffing and wait times. In early February, prosecutors requested a forensic psychological exam of the suspect, but the judge ruled that only the state hospital could order that exam. According to court documents released Tuesday, the state hospital determined the exam was not necessary. Prosecutors argued criminal defendants have incentives to feign symptoms in the context of competency evaluations, and that the state hospital has not concluded any standardized testing to verify if that is the case. Attorneys for the suspect argue the defendant's doctors and his competency evaluators continue to say he is incompetent, and there is no evidence suggesting otherwise. The court has scheduled a review hearing for April 28th. A Colorado School of Public Health study suggests 1 in 4 Colorado teens can access a loaded gun within 24 hours, with nearly half of those teens reporting they can do it in less than 10 minutes. Researchers say they use data from the Healthy Kids Colorado study, a survey that randomly samples 41,000 Colorado teens in middle and high school. Virginia McCarthy, lead author behind the study, told Kaiser Health News the time it takes to access a gun matters, especially for teen suicide attempts, which are often impulsive. According to Kaiser Health News, the majority of teen gun deaths are suicides, even though school shootings receive more attention. Survey results also show that Native American students in Colorado reported the greatest access to a loaded gun, and that Native American youths have the highest rates of suicide. U.S. Senator Michael Bennet and Representative Joe Neguse issued a letter Tuesday asking the Environmental Protection Agency to revisit the review of a new railroad that would connect Utah's Uinta Basin oil fields with a national rail network. The proposed route is part of a plan negotiated over several years that would allow rail shipment of crude oil through Colorado from Utah to refineries in the Gulf Coast. According to the Colorado Sun, the EPA is the fourth agency the lawmakers have approached with requests to reject the plan. The lawmakers thus far this year have asked the Forest Service to overturn their approval of a short stretch going through National Forest. They've also requested that the Department of Transportation deny approval of $2 billion in private activity bonds to build the railroad. Last year, the lawmakers asked President Biden's Council on Environmental Quality to review the 2021 approval by the Surface Transportation Board. The Colorado Sun also reports many Colorado municipalities and organizations are expressing concerns about the environmental review of the railroad, arguing that the risk of derailment and oil spills in Colorado was not factored into the analysis. A newly released plan aims to electrify the transportation methods in the state, with current forms contributing nearly a quarter of Colorado's greenhouse gas emissions. Colorado Energy, Transportation, and Air Pollution officials released the plan Tuesday. Goals include the ability to support just over 2 million electric vehicles on state roads by 2035, with an infrastructure of roughly 1,700 public fast charging ports and 5,800 Level 2 chargers. The plan aims for zero-emission vehicles to make up 30% of new sales for medium to heavy-duty vehicles by 2030. The state's new EV plan also focuses on electrifying diesel-based trucks and bus fleets. The Denver Post reports the trucking industry is questioning how realistic and feasible some of the plan's aims are, with its association proposing an alternate plan of phasing in requirements, providing exemptions, and encouraging renewable natural gas or compressed natural gas. Late Monday evening, Boulder police responded to a call of a man breaking into a North Boulder home of a woman he knew but was not allowed to go near per a protection order. Police say the woman was not home at the time, but she saw the break-in remotely from a surveillance video. As officers arrived on scene, they reported seeing the suspect inside the home with what they believed was a firearm. The suspect also refused police instruction to leave the home and began covering windows. After failed attempts to take the man into custody, Boulder police activated their SWAT team and issued a shelter-in-place order for the area surrounding the home. The suspect finally surrendered himself to police around 8 a.m. Tuesday. According to Boulder police, the suspect caused extensive damage to the inside of the home as well as to police equipment during the incident. Mostly sunny along the Front Range today. In Boulder, a high near 50 and a low around 28. In Denver, a high near 52 with a light breeze and low around 28. Partly sunny with a light breeze in Fort Collins, highs near 43 and lows around 24. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Throughout the year, Boulder County Parks and Open Space works with volunteers to collect, clean, and sow native seeds in an effort to restore and provide better stewardship to the country's vast landscape. The county's native seed program aims to ensure that naturally occurring ecosystems and their native populations continue to exist in Boulder County, while also helping open space areas heal from large-scale disturbances such as wildfires and floods. To learn more about the county's native seed program, KGNU's Stacy Johnson recently took part in a seed cleaning event while also turning to the county official who oversees those volunteer efforts and more.
In recent months, volunteers with Boulder County Parks and Open Space have been undergoing the tedious process of separating seeds from pods and shaft from a variety of native plant species. One of the volunteers working on what is called seed cleaning is Samantha.
So today is a very satisfying project because we can actually see the seeds that we're working with. Because there have been many days where you point to a little dot and that's the seed. So it's very fun and it's very important, and we love working with Boulder County.
Seed cleaning is one of the many facets of Boulder County's native seed program, and it will enable the county to advance to the next step, which is planting or sowing seeds on the county's vast landscapes. During a morning in late February, volunteers were trying to unleash seed from limber pine cones by pounding and dissecting the seed from their tightly held enclosure.
One seed at a time.
In the weeks to come, weather depending, another group of volunteers will plant or sow the limber pine seeds on county landscapes at an elevation of roughly 8,000 feet. Limber pine was not the only species experiencing seed extraction by the work of volunteers. Participants were also teasing the seed from native grass stock by using various methods, such as sieves, metal screens, and food processors. Overseeing these efforts of the native seed program is Carrie Simo, plant ecologist and volunteer coordinator with Boulder County Parks and Open Space.
Boulder County Parks and Open Space Department has a pretty robust and deeply held restoration program for many decades. We've been doing ecological restoration across a myriad of different ecosystem types, from grassland restoration, riparian restoration, to wildfire or flood restoration. And maybe 20 or more years ago, we really identified the benefits and needs for the use of native seed in that ecological restoration effort that we have going on.
SEMO explains that using native seed and native plants, they help safeguard the county's restoration projects and land stewardship efforts for the long term. And not only that, they are able to potentially withstand challenging climatic conditions.
Using plant materials that are locally from Boulder County as close as we can get just really helps to safeguard the efforts there, because they're genetically adapted to this environment, to the not only the weather, but the soil types and the microhabitats and the rockiness or the extreme elevational gradient that we have here in Boulder County. Collecting native seed in the landscape is not only a great way to provide that native plant material for our ecological restoration projects, but it's also a great way to involve the community in helping parks and open space to satisfy that restoration and to move it forward and instill that sense of care and stewardship on the landscape.
SEMA says that the academic study of ecotypic seed has been growing over the last 20 years. In years prior, she said there was a large push to quickly establish plant species in areas that needed to be stabilized, like off the side of the road or in a highly disturbed environment.
But when it came to starting to look at ecosystem function and species diversity in the landscape, certainly in the academic field, which translates over to our field work and land stewardship programs like the Parks and Open Space Department, there's been more and more scientific research that indicates that not only using local ecotypic seed is better for long-term establishment and diversity within a restoration project, it also helps to safeguard all of the food webs and interconnectedness between all the different species that utilize this landscape, both different plant interactions, but also plant and wildlife interactions too, because of course they're intimately tied.
Back at the seed cleaning event, Carol Aschatz, one of the volunteers, is hard at work.
Have you been to parts of Boulder County that you've witnessed your work?
Yes. I've been, I think, some of the work around Heil Valley Ranch after the fires. It's been fun to go back and see things starting to sprout up and life come back to that area, also along the St. Vrain River. Just, you know, when you clean out invasive weeds and you see the natural vegetation coming back, things like that.
And how did you clean out the invasive weeds? What was your involvement with that?
Well, we had huge garbage bags.
Okay.
And we pulled.
Did a lot of pulling?
Okay. Yeah.
As to a place where the public can witness native seed restoration changes, Carrie Simo with Boulder County also says Boulder County's Heil Valley Ranch, the site of the Cowwood Fire, is a location where the public can see some pretty drastic vegetation changes in the next few years.
It was, of course, a very scorched landscape right after the fire, and the first thing that you see after that is a big flush of weeds, and that can be very alarming. Common mullein, musk thistle, and Canada thistle are among the big three non-native plant species that tend to come in after a large wildfire disturbance. But what we've seen in other areas of the state, as well as other areas of Boulder County that have experienced wildfires, is that over time, some of those species, they kind of start to peter out, and as more native vegetation gets a foothold in that landscape, can start to outcompete some things like common mullein.
For invasive plants on the landscape, such as Canada thistle, SEMA says the county's weeds team will go in and actively manage those.
It's going to be a very interesting next several years to see the vegetation changing throughout that wildfire site.
SEMA says Boulder County has had the benefit and constraint to be highly focused on large-scale natural disturbance recovery for several years now.
the flood event of 2013 was, if you were here for it, you remember it was a major event that created a lot of scouring, a lot of disturbance, a lot of infrastructure damage. And so we actually still have a couple flood projects happening now, recovering from that event, you know, almost 10 years later, 10 years later this year, actually. And now with wildfire recovery, that is another realm that takes a lot of our energy, attention, and resources to recovering.
If the county catches a break from large-scale disturbance events, SEMA says it would be wonderful to make certain swaths of the landscape better for the sake of getting better.
For example, some grassland restoration could certainly be built up a little bit to reintroduce a lot of the plant diversity that perhaps was lost just over the course of community settlement, you know, building communities, building roads, having, you know, a really rich and robust agricultural history is fantastic. But then in certain cases, it can diminish some native plant communities out there. And if a particular area is no longer in agricultural production, you know, our department definitely has a desire to bring it back to a more native grassland state. And so I think doing ecological restoration for the sake of making the landscape better, more diverse, and more resilient is always one of our underpinning goals, but is often kind of put on the back burner at the expense of a large disturbance event like a wildfire or that flood.
I like the fact that we're helping the environment, helping the area we live in, and that it's a group of people that's focused on that.
For more information about the Boulder County Parks and Open Space Volunteer Program, a link is available through the KGNU show notes and by visiting the Boulder County Parks and Open Space website. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
Many have heard of the Scripps National Spelling Bee, but recently students in Telluride, Colorado showed their spelling prowess in a whole other language. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Julia Caulfield was there and brings us the story.
The Palm Theater is buzzing with students, teachers, and parents. Spanish and English float through the air. Everyone is gathered for one specific reason.
I'm so excited to be here.
Telluride Intermediate School Principal Zoe Gallette. It's the intermediate school Spanish spelling bee.
Para llegar a este momento, ha habido mucha práctica. To get to this point, we've had a lot of practice. Eso significa no solamente este año, pero a muchos años, ¿no es cierto?
The Spanish spelling bee functions the same way as the English bee, which took place several weeks before. Students come up to the microphone, hear the word to spell, say the word, spell the word, and say the word. They can also ask for things like using the word in a sentence or asking for a definition. This year, teachers Vicente Artes Ucero and Ursula Cristol read the words out.
Y hoy, en el Spanish Spelling Bee, vamos a decir las palabras con dos pronunciaciones diferentes. Como sabéis, yo soy de España y Ursula es de Perú. Entonces, hablamos el mismo idioma, pero a lo mejor pronunciamos diferente, ¿okay?
Artes Ucero and Cristol each read all the words. Artes Ucero notes he's from Spain, Cristol is from Peru, so they speak the same language, but it's a different pronunciation. And with that, the bee begins. 12 students sit in a line on the stage waiting to spell. The first word is...
Empezamos con tu palabra, es vaso. Vaso.
Vaso. Vaso.
Vaso, or glass.
Tengo leche en mi vaso.
Tengo leche en mi vaso.
Ve a ese vaso.
Es correcto.
In the first round, one student is eliminated. Three more in the second round, one in the third, four in the fourth. Finally, 5th grader Keaton Koenig and 7th grader Emma Dominguez de la Torre remain.
Emma, tendrás que repetir esta palabra. Frigorífico.
Frigorífico.
Koenig and Dominguez de la Torre volley back and forth for rounds, each spelling their word correctly, both missing.
Frigorífico.
Dominguez de la Torre spells frigorífico, fridge, correctly before getting to the championship word.
Tu palabra es constelación. Constelación.
Constelación. Constelación.
Constelación. Constellation.
Constelación. C-O-N-S-T-E-L-A-C-I-O-N-E-N.
The stars really did line up for Emma Dominguez de la Torre, 2023 Spanish Spelling Bee champion.
Chris Moore is on spring break with Let Them Hear You, but both will be back next week. So we go now to our weekly edition of Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. You know, my father used to say the wars of today are being fought for oil and that the wars of the future will be fought for water. I really hope that's not true, but my dad was right about a lot of things. Maybe your parents even said such things. But in any case, we know that we have really taken the gift of water for granted and that so much of the water has become polluted and that many places don't have water coming out of the sink right now because of war or environmental disaster or even because of some global earthquake. So a proverb I heard when I was young was, if you have water to throw away, throw it on a plant. What if everybody had a basin in their sink and the water that was maybe used to rinse a dish, rinse an apple, you collected that water and rather than just throwing it all down the sink, you open your door and you gave it to the plants on the balcony or outside. We're really going to need to rethink how we treat water. What if water was not coming out of your tap? Would you know how to purify it? Would you know how to find it? Do you know where your water comes from? I think everybody should have several ways of purifying water if they needed it. I think having a Berkey water filter is a good idea. I think even knowing how to make a water purification tool using sand and charcoal, these are things that you can learn about in books. My book, Natural First Aid, has a whole thing on that. You can use chlorine bleach. Not that I really want to drink chlorine bleach, but it's basically chlorine that can be used to purify water. You just have to use about just a few drops of bleach in a gallon of water. Boiling water is safer than chemical purification. I think having a life straw in your car might be another good idea. Do you know that you can put a plastic bag around non-poisonous plants and seal it up and then collect the moisture that would condense on that plastic bag? You can also collect the moisture that would maybe collect on your car or windows. I know we don't have as much dew here in Colorado. Know that water tends to run downhill. And when you're driving and you see, oh, there's a patch of green, that's usually where you're going to find the water. But it may not be safe to drink. And we know that Giardia and could be a real thing, chemicals that have seeped into our water. So we need to stop the madness. You know, I was in one of those commercial grocery stores the other day, and I saw the whole aisle of chemicals that people are putting in the water every day. I was just looking for baking soda. But, you know, those smells in there just made me start sneezing and coughing, and I didn't think I was going to be able to find the baking soda. So we really need to make a commitment not to pollute the water. You can clean almost everything with baking soda and white vinegar. They're inexpensive. They really work. You can clean the bathtub, the toilet, the sink. You can really do it. We need to be ready for anything. If you hear the water's going to be turned off because of something, fill up your bathtubs. I love to have water delivered in glass. I will never buy another plastic water bottle. I think that that is another travesty on our planet. Water is precious. Water is life. We all need to take an active role in doing this. And you know what? When I'm going on an airplane because I don't want to buy plastic water, I bring cucumbers with me. They come in their own container. And I would love it if I was not the only one eating a cucumber on the plane. So join the tribe. Get some cucumbers. Perfect container for really good purified water. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host and producer, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Benita Lee, Stacey Johnson, Julia Caulfield, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. If you'd like to comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a voicemail at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings. Stay tuned for A Public Affair. That's coming up after the latest commentary from Jim Hightower. But first, the headlines from the BBC.